Opposition Leader, good morning to you, Ms. Redmond.
Good morning, Matthew, David, and all your listeners.
Was that your advice, walk away, Renee?
Yes, it was. I answered the question. She asked what would my advice be, and she had been, this is the young lady that asked the question, had recently been elected to council, and my advice was based on the fact that, you know, way back when I was 28, I'd been elected to council, and obviously back in those days there was the potential for a fair bit of discrimination, and I have generally in my life taken the view that the best way to deal with discrimination is to simply be good at the job that you're doing and do the best you can. And I think that does more to break down the barriers of the sorts of people who would subject you to discrimination. Mm.
Listen a lot, and rather than talking a lot, reports Michael Owen, you are quoted as saying, ask lots of questions, preferably intelligent questions, to get the discussion to go the way you want it to. I don't think there's any much point in confrontation. There were laws at that time about discrimination, but I took the view that I was going to come out the loser if I tried to use those laws against the behemoth of this organisation and someone in a very senior position. So I left and got another job.
Well, yes. I mean, can I take you back to those days? That was actually 40 years ago. I was in my teens. I was working in the Crown Solicitor's Office full-time while I studied at night. I was a very junior clerk, and the senior assistant Crown Solicitor said to me, I don't think women should be lawyers, and if they're going to be lawyers, I'm going to make sure they do nothing but conveyancing. So no, you can't have the transfer into the advisings branch, even though there's a vacancy there and the head of that section would like to have you there. And I took the view, and I don't regret making that choice at that time, that I was, even though there were laws in place, I was unlikely to come out the winner from that. And instead I moved to a government department, became a legal officer in the Department of Agriculture, and some years later had the great pleasure of having changed my name. He didn't know that it was me. He was brown-nosing when he had to deal with me, and I was a particular favourite of the minister that I was working for as a legal advisor.
But have you taken... I appreciate what you're saying, but have you really let other women do the hard yards?
No, I think exactly...
Other women who have taken up the challenge and done the very painful process of laying complaints and forcing laws to be changed and attitudes to be changed.
No, I think exactly the opposite. I think a lot of the time the hard yards is done by not looking at it as your own personal situation, but rather that by taking the line that you'll do the best you can to do the best job you can, you do help to break down the barrier for the next woman that comes along. Whereas if you take that legal approach, then very likely all you'll do is entrench the hatred of women in the very people whose minds you're trying to change.
So what's the point of having a minister for the status of women and sex discrimination laws?
Well, I think that there are occasions when it will be appropriate. And, you know, bear in mind, this was just in response to a question after a speech. And, there will be occasions. I wasn't trying to say that forever and ever there's never an occasion when it's appropriate. But she asked me for my advice as a young councillor. It happened that I'd been a young councillor, female, on a male-dominated council. And my advice was as pretty much as reported.
Okay, well, our phone lines are open. Mm. What do you think of the position that Isabel Redmond's taking on this? 1-300-222-891. We'd love to hear from you. The SMS line is 0467-922-891.
Isabel Redmond here on 891 Breakfast. Rupert Murdoch recently on Twitter said that if people are being bullied, I can't understand why they don't just resign. I think he was referring to somebody in one of his newspapers that was coming out of the UK Inquirer, and people were thinking, well, wait a minute. Is this real speak? This is a reality. And if it is, and if your advice is a reality, and many would accept it is, frankly, that you're wasting, you know, you get people in human resources saying, well, you can take this on, but frankly, don't expect that you'll get everything you want. Matter of fact, it may end up damaging you if there's a bullying complaint or a discrimination complaint. And sometimes the best thing is to walk away. But what does that say about where we're at?
Well, it's horses for courses, and I think there's different aspects of bullying and sexual harassment that may well mean that you need to take action and use the law. But, you know, 40 years ago this was that I'm talking about, and in the law, I'd have to say that by and large, those who avoid the legal path often are better off.
But you're advising someone now. You're advising, this was a 39-year-old Sophia McRae, who's a councillor on the Norwood Council. And mm-hmm. she said, And she works for a not-for-profit lobby group, the Bicycle Institute, and she feels there's some inequality. What would your advice be for a younger woman dealing with that? Now, we're not talking 40 years ago. We have quite well bedded in and sweeping discrimination laws now, Isabel Redmond.
That's right.
And, why not use them?
Well, my advice was that I wouldn't use them. I'm not demanding that she take that advice, but I think that there needs to be thought given to the fact that there are other options than simply going down the legal path, and that perhaps in the interest of women generally, the better way is to actually be so good at your job that whoever it is that's in your way eventually realises, or retires before you, that you are actually a good asset to whatever organisation it is.
There's a text here. Sounds like Isabel is part of the real world for working women.
Well, I think that's probably the case. I've been in the working force for a long time, and when I started work, women not only didn't get the same pay, but in many occupations were forced to leave if they got married.
I thought things had got... I thought those battles had been fought for a very good reason, though, Isabel Redman.
Well, they have been fought, but they haven't all been fought through the courts. And I believe that, you know, I have often been the first female or the second female in a range of organisations, you know, be it Rotary or the Hospital Board or the Council and so on. And, you know, over my entire career, I have often been the only first or maybe second female. And I believe that I have had a part in changing the attitudes of some of the men who perhaps did not want women admitted or on the board or whatever it is.
But you're a confident, motivated woman.
Exactly, but it helps to open the door for the next generation who maybe are not as confident.
But aren't you just entrenching for the women who aren't confident, who are very young, who are being touched up in the office, who are being discriminated against or bullied, that, look, you ain't going to win.
I've already made it clear that I think sexual harassment and bullying are different from the sort of gender discrimination that I was talking about, where you simply have men who say, I don't believe women are capable of doing
this. They all come from the same spring, though, don't they?
Well, I think, as I said, it's horses for courses, and I'm not suggesting that every situation should be dealt with in the same way. I was asked a specific question about a young woman on council. I happened to have had that experience and told her how I felt that I dealt with it, and I thought that was not a bad way to go.